Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, July 12th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear, including our ever-so-popular Chicken Whisperer collector cards. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro.
Manapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manapro, nurturing life.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Back, 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 All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and author, the one, the only, the lovely, the multi-talented, bagel-eating and coffee-drinking crazy little lady. That's Pat Foreman.
Oh, Whisper, I have been caffeine-free now for almost 2.5 weeks. How's that?
That's amazing. Woo. Hey, like I told you on the phone, today must be call Andy and stop by Andy's house because I've got two contractors here and I had a delivery from BrandSmart and I got to go out and meet the tree guy. So as stated, I wanted to get the show rolling and then I'm going to turn it over to you. I will return, folks. Have no fear. Chicken Whisperer is here, but I will return here in a moment. I got to go outside and take care of some business and then I will come back in. Pat, you have the controls so you can bring on the American Livestock Breed Conservancy anytime you want after some host chat and after maybe some chickens in the news, whatever you want to do. But, folks, I will return. Have no fear. I'll see you in the chat room, and I'll be back live here momentarily after I take care of some of this business here that just can't be delayed. So, Pat, love you. Take it away, and I will return.
Okay. Well, I know Andy has been absolutely off the stress scale. You know, he has moved. They have a new baby. They're trying to get everything organized down there at the farm and start their farm. So I know he's been juggling so many things. So, folks, yes, from the chat room, off caffeine, shoot me. I want to tell you a little bit about me and caffeine. It's interesting because I used to be a caffeine addict in college. I would literally drink pots and pots of the caffeine, and I took a biochemistry class. I took a couple of them, actually, maybe too many. And then one Christmas holiday, after taking this final that said basically anything too much is not good for you, I decided to go cold turkey to get off caffeine. And so I did, and it lasted about 2 days, and I had this horrible band headache. It felt like sometimes they use the term putting a guitar string around you. It just ached, and I was shaky, and I was so grumpy. I just couldn't go through with it, so I switched back to a decreasing and backing out of it. So, Critter Lover says, my brother-in-law used to drink 3 to 4 pots of coffee during a 6-hour watch, oh, my God, on a towboat. I was pretty much up to that level just to get through college. But what I found was I was getting some benign breast cysts as well. And after another physiology class, I started doing some research. And sure enough, caffeine is related to these cysts. And I talked to my doctor about it. And sure enough, as soon as I'd backed off of it and even gotten away from caffeine, they went away. So not only that, but my joints were less achy and I was sleeping so much better. So that's why I've pretty much been caffeine-free except for these farmer markets. And afterwards, I meet with a group of friends and we just sit around and I have a little quarter cup of coffee that's really coffee-colored half and half. But even doing that, I noticed there was getting a difference in my sleep patterns. I wouldn't go to sleep quite as quickly as I did, or I'd just be a little more on edge or whatever. So anyway, in my body, I use caffeine kind of the same way I use codeine, which is what I needed to kind of keep going, and some days when I'm not quite functioning well, but then I get off of it the next few days after that. So I think I'm going to pretty well just give it up again totally. And, of course, you know, that whole thing from my pharmacy background, there's caffeine, there's codeine, there's morphine, there's heroin, there's nicotine. They all have a very similar chemical structure. And when you really look at all the molecules kind of side by side, you go, ooh, if caffeine, this is something none of you want to hear, I'm sure, but if caffeine were just coming on the market right now, it would be a controlled drug. And Fiona says in the chat room, yes, coffee stops people from getting killed. I think that is true because, boy, when I take same thing with aspirin from Critter Lover, oh, dear. And then Fidel Roper says, I hurt people without caffeine. And that's my mother is 93, and she starts her day every day with caffeine. She has chronic headaches that if she doesn't they resulted from a fall that she had decades ago, but she was pretty well said she'd pretty well much rather just pass on than give up her caffeine. So anyway, all that is to say, caffeine it is effective. It does can keep you awake, and at least in my body, it keeps me too awake, and I don't quite sleep as well. So with Andy out in the news, I'm pleased to announce that yesterday I lost probably about 1,200 pounds because I had the Habitat for Humanity truck come to this the barn. You know, we used to farm here, and then we had a construction company. So I decided it's just time to clean stuff out. So I had them come, and my gosh, they took away screens and tools and all kinds of stuff that really I don't need anymore. It was just kind of clogging up, and then the space could be so much better used. So I pretty much easily lost about 1,200 pounds from my stuff. And I seem to be going through a de-stuffing phase. I'm in a de-manifesting phase because, I don't know, I just am into the no-clutter look now, I think. And that's Fiona. Take my coffee, take my life. Yeah, it is. Boy, I tell you, when I did have even that little half a cup, I would get absolutely manic. I mean, I'd just be wee, and up and just chatter, and anything's possible, and just sailing along. And then later in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I tend to crash and burn a little bit. Have to have a nappy. But thanks, Farm John Boy. Way to go, Pat, losing that 1,200 pounds. I think that's just the first phase of it, John Boy. I'm going to lose a bunch more because I just really don't want to have stuff around so much. And I'm proud of me for giving up caffeine too. Thanks, Farm John Boy, because it is addictive. I mean, you just try to get off of it, and that's it's a stretch, and I still kind of crave it. And they say once your brain is kind of neuro-wired for that, it's sort of like other addictions, that when you get it, you just want to keep it going. But oh my goodness! And Fiona, you lost 180 pounds of. Wait a minute, just flip down. 180 pounds. Where'd you go? My chat thing keeps zipping around here. Of useless lump overnight once you got a divorce. Yes, Fiona, that's called the divorce diet. How to lose 180 pounds of ugly, whatever you want to call it, overnight. Yeah. Well, after my divorce, I lost about 30 pounds. It just slid off. It's like I wasn't eating the four meals or eating meat and potatoes so much every day. So it just I went back to kind of my premarital both weight and diet. So, yeah, and Fiona says caffeine withdrawal is very dangerous. For everyone else, and isn't that the truth? I had some friends in D.C. when they decided to get off nicotine, when they give up cigarettes, darn if they wouldn't come visit, and darn if this was one of the worst times we ever had together. I finally just say, after 28 days after you're a little free from that, drink a lot, take a sauna, try to detox, but just get over it. And Grover at Dragonfly Farms lost 45 pounds in 6 months. Congratulations, Grover. That is huge. That is huge. And the woodcutter is saying he lost over 3,000 pounds once. Must have sold his car or something. I could lose. He forgot to latch his trailer to the hitch. Oh, dear. So there goes 3,000 pounds instant down the road. Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Well, we live in such a culture of stuff. Stuffology is just everywhere. And we're driven by consumerism. I mean, that's part of what our culture is about, is he who has the most stuff wins, right? It's like, how can you go into any supermarket or mall and walk out without anything? Then you're not being a good American. You're not supporting the economy. That's one thing spenders can save. There are spenders, and then there are hoarders and savers. But it gets to a point, I guess, at least it is in my life now, and then having, I live in a very small house. I co-authored the A Tiny Home to Call Your Own, that book, and it's just a relief not to have to take care of so much stuff and not have to dust it. And I'm even in a situation where I can plug the vacuum in my downstairs, on my downstairs floor, and vacuum the entire area without changing plugs, and I love that. I absolutely love that. Critter Lover says, I once heard that over 80% of Americans have stuff in a storage building at their home or in a storage facility. Yeah, And that's that stuff. You know what's interesting is I was on a guest on a talk show one time up in Harrisonburg, and it was about tiny homes, and we were talking about the, how the advantages, how you can live smaller and have a bigger life. And one of the persons called in, and he goes, "Gosh, Pat, I didn't know it, but I live in a tiny home. I live in 400 square feet, which is about my kitchen and office, and all the rest of stuff is for storage." And he was literally having something like a 4,000 square foot home because he had all this stuff, and people think, you know, they have to keep it in heated, air-conditioned space, temperature-controlled space, grandma's antiques, whatever it is. So I think after that he was going to go look into a smaller house and kind of not have the stuff own him and have to work for it every day, but instead use the stuff that really serves him and that he uses and not the other way around. Yeah. So I'm just checking the chat room here. Time to clean out the barn now. Yeah. Anyway, it's just nice to not have. What I find interesting in my life is I've had so many different interests throughout my life, and my libraries reflected that. I think at one time I had 7 different categories of libraries, you know, one on farming and gardening, one on animals, one on just the other interests that I've had throughout my life. And now I'm going through that, and the Internet has become so easy to find information, and I'm not hoarding books and documents in my filing cabinet the way I used to. So I'm even cutting down on my libraries. Critter Lover says, yes, we're all drowning in stuff. And it does come at a cost. It comes at a higher cost than you think it does. That's what the book, A Tiny Home to Call Your Own, it has an entire chapter on stuffology and how stuff can control us versus we controlling it. So let's see what else we got going here. Oh, Grover, you're having surgery in 2 weeks. Well, best of luck with that. And you haven't been able to exercise. Oh, gosh. So yeah, that's important. Good luck with your surgery. We'll check and see how you're doing on that. Kara, go check out Habitat for Humanity and see what they have to offer. Our county here at Rockridge County in Virginia has a retail store, but they also have a building supplies and stuff store that's separate. And boy, you can go find a screen door, right now there are all kinds of things down there that they hauled off from here. Here yesterday. But anyway, I got just a little bit of chickens in the news that I wanted to share, and this is I've got probably too much to do this time around, so some of it I'll have to say. But one of them comes to us from Rawalpindi. Rawalpindi is in, I do believe, Pakistan. And what they're saying here, and this is something we're starting to see all across the world, is that chicken is being sold at record high prices. And it's so much that it's almost, they're saying it's almost doubled within the past 6 months. According to sources in the chicken market, it is the record increase in the price of chicken in the twin cities of Rawalpindi and Islamabad, because more than 50%, this is interesting, we're talking about smuggling chicken now. About 50% of the chicken is being smuggled to Afghanistan, Iran, and some other countries to earn a much higher profit. And what they're saying is the city district administration is witnessing the drama of increasing in the poultry prices as a silent spectator. The officials told the news, this is from the international news, today's international news .com, said that because chicken prices are fixed on a daily basis at the wholesale market, they're going underground. So now there's a black market. This is the first time I think we've picked up on this chickens in the news, that here, because of high prices, and we're seeing it all across the world because grain prices are going through the roof because of the climate changes, but now there's a black market in Islamabad and Rawalpindi for chicken. And they're saying, let me just scan down this. According to the Poultry Research Institute, the current price of chicken was beyond the reach of the common man, probably, or woman there. And the concerned officials, on the condition of being anonymous, told the news that they have called excuse me, they've called an emergency meeting in which the poultry businessmen would participate, and participants of the meeting would take up the issue about the increase in chicken prices, as well as sort of chickens being smuggling, I guess, out of the country. So according to the BRI, the chicken price registered a sharp increase as the number of birds, this is the other thing, a huge number of birds died in the hot and humid climates because there's a wide gap between the supply and demand, and for this reason the price of chicken is at an all-time high. They've had incredibly hot weather over there, and of course chickens can't tolerate heat very, very well. So they've had a huge number of them. They'll just have a heart attack, especially those commercial hybrids, the Cornish cross. They'll just keel over and die. So he said that more than 20% of the birds die in every poultry farm because of the hot, humid weather and the long spells of electricity load shedding. That must mean they have brownouts, I would guess. And says the owners of more than 30% of the poultry farms has closed down their businesses in the last 2 years because of those losses. So they've also got the supply side being crumbled. That's kind of what happens sometimes when you fix prices, I guess, at the wholesale level. So let's see. There, let me just go on here. He said that a government employee said that he could not afford the chicken at their current prices. He said it used to be that the poor ate chicken curry, but now they can't even afford chicken. So anyway, they're concerned about food supplies. They're concerned about possible looting, and whoever controls your food supply controls you. So that's the high chicken price, all-time high, in Rawalpindi and Islamabad. And we'll probably, I don't know, it's not if you have your backyard flock, you've got your backyard flock eggs in that. The other news comes to us from Boston. And doggone it, Boston, they're having the same problem. One Boston resident contests the city rules preventing backyard chickens. So this comes to us from Audra Karp, K-A-R-P, and this is from Boston.com. It says, chickens like these three, and there's a picture here of these three little backyard family flocks, are banned from Boston pending an appeal from a Rosslindale resident, Audra Karp. And this is brought to us by the town correspondent, Matt Rochelieu, R-O-C-H-E-L-E-A-U. It must be French. So anyway, this one resident is preparing to challenge the city regulations that prevent Bostonians from keeping chickens on their own property, on land they own. Ooh. Last spring, Audra Karp began raising three young chickens in the backyard of her Fifth Road home. But this spring, around the time of the first birthday for the feathered, and her chickens have names. I mean, they're named Roxy, Carmen, Yolanda. So her named flock, her pets, said that the animal control officials posted a notice on her door telling her that the egg-laying trio must go. And they've got a picture here of the little chicken coop they've got. It's a nice little A-frame. It's got little handles so you can take it. So anyway, there's a... she's going to contest it, and that happened this morning, Tuesday morning, and I'll give them a call and see how that came out, because I used to live in Boston, and I know it's really, really important for a lot of the Bostonians to have, well, they used to be called a agricultural farm. In fact, our whole country is based on agriculture. Now, remember, I was having trouble getting around in Boston until someone said, you have to think like a cow to get around in Boston, because the major roads are pretty much based upon 18th century cow paths. Or was it 19th century cow paths? 19th century cow paths. So that's why they go in and out so much. So if you're driving around in Boston, think like a cow, because the roads are basically laid out after cow paths of our early founders. Critter Lover says, our government has gotten so heavy-handed and intrusive. It sticks its nose in far too much to private business, especially regarding food and agriculture. Oh, man, I couldn't agree with that more. You know, there has been, we've talked about this so many times. Let me see if I can find it. The universal right to grow your own food. I'm not pulling up real fast. But you can pretty well know how it goes. It goes something like this. We hold these rights to be self-evident, and it's the right to happiness, the pursuit of life, happiness. Oh gosh, here I'm messing this. The pursuit of life, happiness, and income, and the right to grow our own food. And it's also stated in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that was written and sponsored by Eleanor Roosevelt that food and the right to your own food was an international right, and it's in there. So I think we need to really get back to our roots and really start understanding how food plays so much of a part in what we say and do. The other news I have is last week, as some of you know if you listened in last week, I was up in Vermont, and Vermont, looking at compost companies, we went to the Vermont Compost Company with Carl Hammer. They've got those 1,200 clucking composter chickens that work 360 days a year. And they have such a strong local foods program that, they take great pride. They've got kitchens back in their schools. They have the schools with monitors to collect the food stream to go to the compost company so it doesn't have any residual compostables in it. And I've got just a few more minutes here about chickens in the news. I want to say a little bit about this. Is composting is such a they view it almost as a religion, because they say composters are the gatekeepers to healthy soil. And if you don't have compost and healthy soil, of course, you're not going to have healthy kids or a healthy civilization. We've talked about how civilizations have risen and fallen based upon the condition of their soil and their agriculture. So they take composters as being the gatekeepers to healthy soils. And another thing that they were saying is that if we really composted all our wasted food, or if we used it to feed chickens, in the backyard, the chicken scraps, that you could grow something like You could grow so much food just by having the chickens mix their waste in with the local residuals of organic. You could literally grow pretty much all the food that you needed to feed a community. They believe that soil stewardship. This is really important. Listen up, everybody. Really important. Soil stewardship is part of a solid waste management stream policy in Vermont. They don't view the composters as another landfill, not at all. They view it as returning those organic assets back to the soil and doing it in a clean way. And the problem is that they've had up at the Burlington compost at the Interville project is they were trying to compost the plastics. They're called compostables, the plastics and the papers that they say are compostable. But what happens is they end up just leaving all these really fine polymers in the soil, and it's so much the extent that they cannot have organic certification if they take in compostables of the plastics and the paper. So I see Whisper's back in the chat room. Whisper, are you online here? Are you live?
I hope I'm alive. Let me pinch myself and see. Ow!
I think you are.
Yep,
either you are or I'm clairvoyant.
I feel it when I pinch myself, so I must be live, alive, and I am back. Thank you. I had to take care of that, but I appreciate you taking over there for a minute, Pat. It was
just blabbing away, having a great time. The chat room's been fantastic.
Yes, it has. Absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
We got some again. Great, great. So I apologize for having to do that. Life goes on, and it was just call CW day today, and stop by CW's house today because it was within 10 minutes. I had three different people here wanting to do this, that, or the other, and estimates and bids, and then I had everybody seemed under the earth seemed to had called me this morning. I hadn't heard. It's been 2 weeks, but today was the day, I guess, that I was popping in people's heads to call and take care of business. So, but nonetheless, I'm back, and we've got a great show lined up for everybody today. American Livestock Breeds Conservancy is here, of course, and I'm still waiting to hear He may be in a meeting. He may be off today. He may be out traveling and working. Our good friend Scott at eggcartons.com, waiting on an email from him regarding today's Chicken at Trivia Prize. Plus, we may have two questions today because yesterday there was no show, and I appreciate you with your patience there. We'll have a Hen Saver Hen Apron also today to give away from our good friends at Crazy K Farm and HenSaver.com. So I have two prizes today. And sometime during the show today, of course, we will announce today's secret password. And just in case, because there was no show yesterday, we did post it on our Facebook page as promised, because we want our good friends at Facebook and on Twitter to be able to participate in this awesome contest. But yesterday's secret password was pull it. Yesterday's secret password was pull it. For those of you who don't Facebook, just to make it fair, wanted to give you yesterday's password. And then sometime during the show today, Pat or I will let you know what today's secret password is. Now you're thinking, why do I need to collect all these passwords? Well, it's become very popular here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, and more chicken-related prizes than anybody on the planet. And we're continuing that tradition with our good friends over at Critter-Cages.com. They have it's a hutch. I call it a rabbit hutch. You could call it a guinea pig hutch, whatever. But it's a really nice rabbit hutch that they've donated, and we're going to be giving it away later in July. In fact, let me see if my numbers are correct. We started this on Friday the 8th. Today will be the third password, and then we're going to give this hutch away on Friday the 29th, and I believe that would be a total of 15 passwords. The last password will be issued on Thursday the 28th, and then on the 29th, if you're the right caller and can recite all 15 secret passwords, then you're going to win this beautiful rabbit hutch. I think on their website it's valued at about $175, but you may see it retail up to about $250 in retail stores everywhere. So it's a really great prize. It'll be shipped directly to your front door anywhere in the lower 48 states of this great land. And so that's what the passwords mean if you're just joining us and weren't sure. Also, want to remind everybody, I posted this on Facebook page yesterday. The Chicken Whisperer collector cards are still flying off the shelves. We're so happy with that. But and you can still get them directly from us. But we are in the process of, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, getting them into the hands of some retailers across the land, meaning eggcartons.com, randallburkey.com, McMurrayHatchery.com, HobbyHillFarm.com, and many others that have a retail presence online, so they can start carrying the Chicken Whisperer collector cards as well. Now, it doesn't just because we're going that route as well, we wanted to sell as many as we could through us. And then in the next two or three weeks, we'll be getting distributed, hopefully, to a lot of online retailers and maybe even some brick-and-mortar retailers and farm stores around the country. But we've made it a kind of a strict stipulation to make this work that $5 is the retail price. So whether you get it from us or at a poultry show across the country with a poultry press carrying them, or say eggcartons.com or Hobby Hill Farm, we're looking to have a $5 recommended price for that, so there's not any gouging and all this other stuff that goes on. But regardless of how many people carry them, we made the promise that there would only be 2,500 decks available for the Series 1, and when they're gone, they're gone, bottom line. So as these become more and more popular, when we release Series 2 in the fall, and then next spring Series 3, and then the following fall Series 4 of the Chicken Whisperer collector cards, we may start printing more. Maybe Series 2 will print 3,000 decks or 5,000 decks based on how they're selling at the retail stores. But Series 1, 2,500 decks, and that's it, bottom line. Now, about 122 of you that ordered got a misprinted deck, or we'll just say a rare deck that may or may not be collectible one day, but 122 people received decks that contained a misprint card, which basically our staff didn't recognize, the printer's staff didn't recognize, and it got snuck through, and 122 were mailed with this misprint of a particular card. So if you have that, you're one of 122 people that have that, but you also have since been mailed the correct replacement card. So you have a complete deck. We promised we would do that for everybody who, the 122 people that missed that deck. So we've got that going on, and you can order those at chickenwhisperer.com, but they're going to be distributed out, and then they'll be, you know, 2,500 decks are going to fly. They're flying now, but when we start getting folks like Hobby Help Farm, MakeCartons.com, McMurray to carry them on their website, Randall Berkey, they will end up selling out. So we've got...
Hey Whisper, I haven't gotten mine yet.
You haven't?
No. I got the replacement card. It came, I looked at it, oh boy, it's a check in the mail. Look at that, it was just like a check. But instead it was a barred rock.
I love that.
So I just want to put that in there. You promised.
I did. Well, I'll tell you what, Pat.
And I know you're
the
a man
cards,
of your words.
Famous last words. Famous last words. The cards and the check are in the mail.
Oh, great.
The cards
I look forward to getting this.
Are in the mail.
Are in the mail.
Oh, my goodness. Gotta love it.
That's
Walter
funny.
Sandy replaced. Lots of great comments on our Facebook page about the cards. Thank you so much. Everybody's saying they love them. They especially love the extra care we did picking out a case for them. Like I said, it's not this cheap foil packet. It's a nice plastic case, so you can protect the cards for years to come. So we went over and beyond, I think, with that. So alrighty, it's about 12:35. It is time. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome the ALBC. We've got a couple of great topics today we're going to cover, and so we'll be back after this short break. So don't go anywhere and get that pen and paper out, because you just might, as always, want to take notes here after the break. We'll see you then. Thanks.
Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available.
Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Welcome back to the Chicken Whisperer Backyard Poultry and Sustainable Lifestyles Talk Show. Today, our special guest is Dr. Allison Martin. She has just joined the ALBC, the American Livestock Breed Conservancy, and she is their research and technical program director, a really important spot there at the ALBC because there's just so much that they're doing to protect our heritage breeds. Allison, are you on the line here?
I'm on the line, Pat.
Oh, great, great. I forgot who's got the switchboard here. Excuse me, I've got a little frog here. Listen, Dr. Martin, I should say. Let me just tell our folks a little bit about you because it's a really impressive, impressive background you have. As a teenager, Allison raised backyard poultry, waterfowl, rabbits, and horses, so she's got a really strong agricultural background. And this early experience led to a career of more than 20 years in poultry science. And her specialties is health and vaccines, vaccine development. So certainly we all want healthy animals before they get sick, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure kind of thing. So she has specialized in the vaccine development, and she has led teams, I mean, international teams of research in the facility design and operations, manufacturing, and quality support for vaccines. And she was one of the key leaders on the world's very first, the very one, first one, in the ovo, which means in the egg, vaccine for coccidiosis. And as we all know, coccidiosis is a really big, big deal. She got her PhD in genetics, yay, from Virginia Tech, my home state, and where she specializes in disease resistance with poultry. So today we're going to be talking about egg vaccine production, and towards the end there, then how to decide whether or not to eat that potato salad if you're worried about salmonella poisoning. So, Dr. Martin, welcome to our show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you and the Chicken Whisperer today on my very first appearance on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Oh, and I've got to tell folks that Jeanette Barringer, who usually comes on, is in France. Last I heard, she was in Paris having a wonderful time with her French husband as well. So I'm sure she's going to come back with all kinds of stories. So thanks for coming in and being with us today. So you developed one of the very first in the egg vaccine for coccidiosis. Tell us about that. Can I call you Allison, or should I use Dr. Martin?
Please call me Allison. Don't get too formal with me.
Some people have their preferences. I didn't want to do a faux pas. So thank you for that honor. Okay, well, how did you get to do one of the very first ovo vaccines for coccidiosis?
Well, let's start with in-ovo vaccination and why you would want to do that. Some researchers at U.S. Department of Agriculture up in Wisconsin first realized, back in the 70s or 80s, that you could give certain vaccines into the egg, and you do that at about 18 days of incubation, and that you could get effective vaccination. And
wow.
So, that was done first for Merrick's disease, which you're probably aware is a disease
mm-hmm.
that can cause tumors and paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the poultry growers want to make sure they get that Merrick's vaccine in every animal. And by doing it in the egg, it's a lot easier than chasing the chicks around and making sure you got it in every chick. Those eggs sit
yeah.
still for you a lot better.
And you just put it in like the white area, or do you have to get it clear into the yolk? Or how do you vaccinate an egg? You can't do it
well,
under their arm.
Yeah, almost. By 18 days of incubation, you think about it, you know, typically 21 days to incubate your egg until it hatches. So you got a pretty good-sized embryo in there at that point. But it's not quite so big that it's absorbed all that amniotic fluid and everything. So typically
uh-huh.
what we're trying to do with most vaccines is get it into the amniotic fluid. And from there, it'll get into both the lungs and into the mouth, and then down into the gut of the chicken, the developing chicken, before they hatch. So that gives them a little
mm-hmm.
head start.
Okay. Okay. And then you just use a really sharp, tiny needle. Is that how you sort of puncture it, or is it trying to go through the pores? Can you do like a little pressure? You know, they do some vaccines with a pneumatic
right
now.
And the device, there's a device that'll do this on large scale in a commercial hatchery, uses the same principle as we used, just one egg at a time, which is you take a large needle, and you really only want it about half inch long. You're going to punch a hole in the top of every one of those eggs. First, you sanitize the top with a little bleach solution or alcohol, something like that. And then you just punch a hole in the top of the egg over the air cell. And then you go down with a slender needle about an inch or so into the egg and just inject the dose right into the fluid down there.
Wow, an inch or so, that far?
Yeah, well, at that point, you know, and it depends some on the size of your eggs, but at that point the embryo is still, it's not filling up the entire egg yet.
Okay. Okay, and do you go up through the air sac, or do you go anywhere? Is there a particular spot on the egg that's better to vaccinate than others?
Yeah, it works better to go through the egg sac. The air cell. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that then an inch maybe that's not that much if they're 18 days old. Okay.
Right. Right.
Interesting. Now, there's a question from the chat room here, Allison. It says, "Is there a vaccine for coccidiosis for chicks?" And adult chickens, or is it just for chicks? Or eggs?
Typically,
eggs.
So that's a great question. Yeah, the coccidiosis vaccines, they work best if they're given to chicks because you get that early immunity. And so you could potentially give it to an animal of any age, but it works best if it's given to the chicks. And there's
huh.
different kinds. There's besides our in-ovo ones, there's also some that you can spray on or put in the feed or water.
Okay. Okay. In the feed or water.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Allison, there's a really random question in the chat room. It's a comment, really. It says that they vaccinated their chickens for measles. Do chickens get measles? Yeah.
No, chickens don't get measles.
I'd never heard that either, but they had some vaccine laying around and thought, what the heck? So there you have it. Only in our show here. So,
well, it probably didn't hurt the chickens at all. So.
right. That's what I was thinking.
Seeing where that comment came from, definitely definitely not a true statement. Basically, just yanking your leg there a little bit, Pat. So, of course, I kind of had a little question that if I vaccinate my chicks, will they grow up to have autism? So that was my two cents.
And how do you tell?
And how do you tell? Exactly. I love it. So that's so far fascinating. This is amazing. Continue on. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, actually, that is a question, Allison. You know, there's so much concern about the mercury. Mercurochrome, is it? That's in human vaccines. It's supposed to not be there now. But do they preserve the chicken vaccines with mercury products?
They sometimes with certain kinds of vaccines they might use similar preservatives. Now the latest science that I've seen has disproved the mercury connection to autism. Actually, it looks like, as is, you know, happens a lot in science, sometimes the cart gets put ahead of the horse a little bit, and based on early information, we all leap in and do things that later prove not to have been necessary. My favorite story on that was several years ago, and I don't remember exactly which came out first, either that we needed less vitamin A or more vitamin A, but it was really funny because there were a bunch of stories about needing let's say it was more vitamin A, and so everybody was supposed to eat their carrots, and then 2 years later it was the other way around. You needed less, and they, so eat less carrots. As far as the chicken vaccines, you've got two kinds of vaccines, be it people or animals or chickens or what have you, and you've got live vaccines where you give a little bit of the live organism, a really controlled dose, or there's what they call killed vaccines, and those are the ones that use the preservatives. Both of them, the idea is to get your body's natural immune system to recognize, hey, this is a bad thing, and I need to be ready in case I see it coming at me in the environment. And, you know, you think, well, with the live vaccines, isn't that crazy? You're going to make the bird sick. But really what you're doing is you're making them a little sick instead of a lot sick. So the coccidiosis vaccine is a great example of that. That's a live vaccine. You're giving them a little bit of coccidiosis. That's going to grow a little bit in the bird, and the bird's going to get immune to it. Whereas if they're out in nature, then you can't control necessarily how much they get exposed to. And they might get exposed to a little and get a mild coccidiosis, or they might get exposed to a lot and get a severe coccidiosis. And it doesn't matter how good your immune system is, if you just get overwhelmed by a big whelm of those little protozoas in you.
But now, don't we all have some in us anyway? Coccidiosis?
Not really with the coccidiosis. You know, coccidiosis to a chicken is kind of like Montezuma's revenge to a person. And so if you grew up in Mexico and you're exposed to it all the time, then it's not going to make you sick. But if you come in from the United States, then that's what I'm talking about. It overwhelms you.
Okay. So I'm sure there are so many different strains of coccidia around the world, too. So now, did you say there's not a vaccine for adult birds? Is that what I heard and understood for coccidiosis?
You can use the vaccines for the chicks in the adult birds. So I'm sorry if I didn't give you the right impression on that.
The chicks in the adult birds.
Right. You can use the same vaccine in the adult birds.
Gotcha. Okay, you can use the same vaccine. I've hardly have ever had problems with the coccidiosis in adult birds. Maybe I'm just lucky.
Right. Well, no. Yeah. Usually they'll get some exposure, especially if we free range our birds. Then they're going to typically they'll get some exposure and they won't get hit with a lot of it. Where you sometimes see problems is if people keep their birds confined too long. And they don't get that exposure, and then they get out on range, or they get in, you know, if you merge flocks or something like that, and they get exposed, and then sometimes you'll see some problems with coccidia then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's a big problem. So what was it like to lead a research team to get to pull all this together? That must have been pretty intense.
Well, in a lot of ways, it was a lot of fun because by working with a team of people, you get that benefit of having everybody's ideas. And in the early days when we were trying to figure out so many things, we would have these just brainstorming meetings where people were throwing things out, and then we'd critique each other's ideas. And so it was a real productive way to do the development. But then, you know, developing a vaccine, it's a real complex and long-term process, and so you need a number of people to do the work and figure things out. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what that's like, some of the things that you've got to demonstrate to get a vaccine registered with USDA is you've got to demonstrate that it's safe. And so you got to do some studies to show that if you give it at, say, 10 times the normal dose, that the animals are still safe, it won't hurt them. You have to demonstrate that it works. You have to demonstrate that you've got a test that you're going to run on every batch that's made that proves that it works. And then you've got to figure out a way to make this at, you know, large scale repeatably, and so you've got a lot of manufacturing process development work to do.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Wow. And you have to have it come out consistent. So how do you get the first vaccine? I mean, do you take it from the existing coccidia from an already infected bird and then culture it? Or
yeah. Uh-huh. We jump-started that a little bit by working with strains that other people had collected, and there's places, cell banks and places like that, where scientists share viruses and bacteria and protozoa, and so we were able to get some the coccidia that had already been purified. But, yeah, the basic way you do it is you start with the chicken poop, and you've got to do a bunch of filtering and other chemical separation methods so that you end up with a pure culture. And especially for our vaccine where we're going into the egg, you got to make sure that it's absolutely pure or you're going to kill that little embryo, and we sure don't want to do that.
And then how do you do that? How do you know that it's pure and active and ready to get the chick vaccinated?
Sometimes developing the tests is almost as complicated as developing the vaccine itself. Just to tell that it's pure, there's about three or four different tests that you do. For example, a lot of your listeners will have had a biology or chemistry class in school where they grew things in a Petri plate or in a test tube. And so we'll put some of that same type of culture media into a flask. Usually we do it a larger volume because you want to make darn sure there's nothing in there. And then add a little bit of the vaccine to it, and you grow it out for 14 days just to make sure nothing grows.
So if you have any contamination, then you just got to start over. I've been through more than my fair share of Petri dishes, if that's the case.
That's right. Well, first you have to make sure that you didn't mess up the test somehow, and then you go back, and depending on what you've got, you might be able to do another purification and save it, or you might have to just toss it out and start over.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then, of course, you got your incubator and all that controlled conditions. There's a question in the chat room. Is there a website about the coccidiosis vaccine and how it was developed, or just to get some more information about it?
There's not necessarily information about how it's been developed, but the company that I was with when we developed that was Embrex, and Embrex was the one that developed the Inovo methods and machines. And then we were bought about 5 years ago by Pfizer. And so Pfizer Animal Health is now the one that sells the Inovo coccidiosis vaccine, and they do have information on it at their website. So you could start with www.pfizer.com, P-F-I-Z-E-R, and follow the links to the animal health sections, or you could probably Google Pfizer poultry or something along those lines to get you a little closer to it.
Okay. Very good, very good. Okay, so I just posted that in the chat room. It just goes to Pfizer.com and then Google Animal Health, or they'll have a search engine for either Animal Health or the coccidiosis thing.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, Allison, it's time just to take a commercial break here on our sponsors. And so what we'll do is just run those. And we are talking today. Our special guest is Dr. Allison Martin. She is the ALBC Research and Technical Program Director. And we're talking about the vaccine for coccidiosis, which she helped develop, the very first one in OVA. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. Here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfge.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Welcome back. Welcome back. Our special guest today is Dr. Allison Martin. She's the ALBC programmer, and today's secret password is scratch. Today's secret password is scratch, S-C-R-A-T-C-H. So, okay. Welcome back. Dr. Martin, are you with us here?
I'm still with you.
Okay, great, great. Very good. Well, we left off about doing the salmonella vaccine kind of in petri dishes and trying to get it purified. What's the next step then? Do you have to select a particular breed of chicken to have the eggs from, or And Whisper, I've got a little bit of feedback in my microphone here. I hope that isn't coming through to the rest of the folks.
I don't hear anything. You're coming in loud and clear, as well as the doctor.
Okay, I see. Kelly from Georgia says, "What's that background noise?" It just sounds like crosstalk a little bit, but okay.
Sounds
okay.
Better now.
Yeah, that's much better. Whatever that was. Okay, super. Thank you. Whatever happened. Okay.
Sure.
So do you do these vaccines? Do you develop them with a special breed of chicken, or do you stick with the Cornish cross, that industry standard for meat birds? How do you choose your breed? Whisper.
Somebody's got music or on hold music in the background.
This is Whispers, I think. This is Christmas in July, Alice. I told you the show was a little random.
Did you hit that button?
Not me, no.
I didn't hit it either. I'm sorry, I didn't hit it either. In fact, I had logged off and logged back in so I could bring the switchboard up and maybe get a little bit better connection for some better sound. So it just had a mind of its own, I guess. I didn't hit it. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God. We have a haunted keyboard. Of course, you know, if a chicken, you know what we would call it if it was a chicken on the keyboard and it was haunted?
Yes.
It's a poultrygeist.
Go ahead,
that wasn't me on the keyboard. So,
Doctor, you could go ahead and shake your head because we all do it every day.
Groan. Definitely groan.
Jokes. Groan, yep, absolutely. Okay, carry on. I apologize for that. I did not. That wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
All right. Well, it wasn't me.
It's the poltergeist.
It must be. Yeah, you were asking about what kind of birds we use to develop the vaccine. A lot of the early steps, they use some birds. They're similar to layer birds, but they've maintained the breeding stock in germ-free background, and so they're what's called specific pathogen-free. And the reason you use those birds is that they that way you know that they're not bringing anything to the equation, if you will, when you're doing vaccine work.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've got, you're going to start out by, for example, trying to figure out what dose you want. And you know, first question is, will this even work? Can we stick coccidia in an egg and successfully vaccinate a chick? So that's where you start. And then when we did a lot of different doses, and what we found out was, believe it or not, it takes a higher dose in an egg than it does in a chick.
Really?
The little embryos are actually more immune to the coccidia, or just don't respond to it. We never really did the studies to find out if it's just because the coccidia passed right through, or whether it's something to do with the fact the immune system isn't all the way developed yet, or something like that. But it was a little bit different than what we were doing with the chicks after hatch. So we worked through a couple of different doses, and then started testing after we knew it would work in the specific pathogen-free birds. Then we started testing it in meat-type birds. Because, of course, you know, really when you look out at the marketplace, especially when it got to be Pfizer, the biggest volume of birds, the biggest numbers of birds is with the big companies that are growing those commercial birds for the grocery stores. And so we wanted to make sure that our vaccine would work in all types of birds.
Okay. So then you took that on to trials with the Cornish cross.
Mm-hmm, right.
Did you do heritage breeds too then?
We didn't have the opportunity to do very much with heritage breeds. We did a little bit at every stage of the game, but not extensively.
Okay. So we really don't know if you would have that with it. Of course, do any of the hatcheries do coccidiosis vaccination to eggs for heritage breeds? Like, does Murray McMurray Mount Healthy Hatchery, do you know? Do they buy it?
As far as I know, now this is a fairly new product. It was just launched within the last year or so. And so as far as I know, none of them are using it yet. I think that Murray and I'm not sure of the others, but I think Murray might be using some of the spray-on type vaccine. So when they hatch out, let's say 100 chicks, they can just put the chick box underneath a sprayer that'll deliver out one of the competing vaccines, shall we say?
Okay. Okay. Well, there's another question in the chat room here, and that is, how can you tell if your chickens have been exposed to coccidia, either your baby chicks or chickens?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't really know that there's a way, as long as your chickens are healthy, I don't know if there's a way to tell if they've been exposed. I mean, ask yourself, how would I know if I've been exposed to the cold? If I don't come down with it, I might have been exposed and I might have been fine, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, since it is such a common bacteria, or whatever it is. Oh, is it a bacteria or is it a protozoa?
It's a protozoa, so it's
right.
Classified actually as a parasite, but its closest relatives would be things like malaria and toxoplasma and leishmania.
Is it a blood parasite, Allison?
No, it's just an intestinal parasite. It just
intestinal.
Stays in the
okay.
gut. Yeah.
Well, I know, of course, the Lyme's disease and some of the Babesia and Ehrlichiosis, those are blood parasites that actually get in your bloodstream and languish
right.
there.
Yeah. And another thing to mention is that the chicken coccidia is very species specific, so every animal's got their own coccidia. So the chicken coccidia will only affect the chickens. It's not going to make your dog sick or yourself or your sheep or anything like that. In fact, it won't even affect your turkeys. It's completely different.
Oh, really?
Species. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, is it possible that a flock can never be exposed to coccidia?
It's not too likely because there's a lot of it out there in the environment. So probably they'll be exposed. But, you know, something that works pretty well with keeping that exposure minimal, and if you keep it minimal, then you get a good natural vaccination, is folks that tractor their chickens. You know, you're moving on to that fresh ground all the time. And
uh-huh.
that really helps keep the parasite from building up to the point where it'll cause problems in your birds.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about probiotics in the flock? If you find you do have some coccidia signs there, are you a probiotics believer?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think that and a lot of people use the apple cider vinegar in the water. Both of those have the benefit that if you get a little coccidia, what can happen is that it does tear up the lining of the intestine a little bit, and then that lays the bird open to secondary infection. And a lot of times it's those secondary infections will make them sicker than the coccidia did. So by giving the probiotics or the apple cider vinegar, it just keeps that whole gut a lot healthier and able to respond and just get, you know, if they are exposed, then they get it and they get over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that prevention versus cure. Well, I'm a big believer in apple cider vinegar, too. I take it myself. Sometimes at night I can put a little bit of apple cider vinegar in it, and I feel like I'm having some fine wine. It has
right.
that acetic acid kind of smell to it. And then,
yeah.
but I'm real easy. It doesn't take much for my palate here. Oh, dear. Oh gosh. We've only got about two or three minutes left. We have two trivia questions coming up. You were going to tell us about the problem with salmonella poisoning and how to know if we should eat that potato salad or that shrimp salad coming up. Can you tell us that in just a couple minutes?
Yeah, sure. That's one of those things that comes up all the time at this time of year as everybody's having more outdoor picnics and potlucks and so on. And I'm sure a lot of you get asked, you know, is it safe to eat the eggs? Is it safe to eat the fried chicken and all that? So, I mean, a lot of the common sense things are where it's at for preventing that salmonella poisoning. And one of the keys is that you want to keep hot foods hot and cold foods cold. So it really has a lot less to do with what you're eating, whether it's the potato salad or the deviled eggs or what have you, and it has a lot more to do with handling your food properly.
Mm-hmm. But there's really no way to taste it, though, right? I mean, if it's there, it's there, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, if it smells bad, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll make you sick, and vice versa.
yeah, really.
But
yeah,
the one place that you do that's most often the culprit when you get food poisoning is, and this will happen a lot actually in restaurants, is if they're trying to keep the food right at that perfect serving temperature, and mm-hmm. if you think about this, that's pretty close to body temperature. Well,
right.
Body temperature is the perfect growth for salmonella and campylobacter and all these other nasties you read about. And so that's the absolute wrong temperature to keep your food when you're trying to, you know, have it out for a long period of time.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that's exactly right. Quick question that came up in the chat room. We've kind of had an opinion, but how much apple cider vinegar do you recommend putting in the water for coccidiosis or to prevent coccidiosis?
A gallon per gallon? I'm going to say this off the top of my head, and I'll probably get it wrong. I want to say that it's about...
Oh, there's no wrong. just a dump or two. That's what I do.
Yeah, right. I was going to say about a teaspoon or so. Let's see. Maybe 1 to 3. Tablespoon. About 1 to 3 tablespoons per gallon. Does that sound about right to the two of you?
To me, it does, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I use for me. Actually, I use more... When I drink apple cider vinegar, I'll put a tablespoon in an 8-ounce glass, and it tastes fine. The thing is, you don't want to get it too acidic so they won't drink the water, and you don't want to use metal containers because it will corrode them. That's the main thing, too. Okay, well, it's time for trivia. Allison, thank you so much for coming on. It's been incredibly informing. I had no idea the oval vaccines and how they were developed for coccidiosis. So, we've been talking with Dr. Allison Martin. She is the ALBC Research and Technical Program Director, so she knows what she's talking about. And support your ALBC, that's the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They are out there just helping to save our heritage breeds of not only chickens, but also swine and cows and pigs and all those worthy animals. So, Allison, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thanks so much. It's just been a whole lot of fun. Thanks to the Chicken Whisperer and to you, Pat,
for
having me on today.
Our pleasure.
All righty. Wonderful, wonderful. Hope you took lots of notes. Great. And that's what we do here, folks. You don't just tune in and hear Pat and I yap with each other, but you do tune in because we try our best to bring you on the experts in their field. Yes, I said experts in their field. And
definitely a doctor of experts.
Absolutely. And got to love it. And so we do try to bring on the experts in their field so you can get the right information. So you don't have to rely on bad information on this form, that form, or the other form, or rumors, or grapevine. You can get it right here from the specialists. And that's what we try to do here every day on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Okay, Scott at eggcartons.com. Today is Tuesday. Must be either in a meeting. Maybe he took a mental health day, like we all need sometimes, and is not over. We're not really sure. So I haven't received an email back from Scott, and of course I feel comfortable just doing 25 egg cartons. That's not a problem. They've been sponsors for a long time, so that's what we'll probably do. Is we'll do a package of 25 of the classic. Vintage. That's the word I'm looking for. The vintage egg cartons. Everybody loves those. So the three stackable three by four instead of the six, two rows of six. There's three rows of four for your dozen eggs, and they're very, very popular. Everybody loves them. The vintage style egg cartons from eggcartons.com. A pack of 25 will be the prize for this. And Pat, I have the question, so you pick the caller.
Okay, well, let's go with caller number 8. I like 8 today.
Sounds good. Caller number 8 at 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Caller number 8, if you know the answer to this question and you're the right caller, you will win a pack of 25 of the vintage style egg cartons from our good friends over at eggcartons.com. Here's the word. What is it called when you remove the comb and wattles by cutting? What is the word use to describe when you remove the comb and wattles by cutting? 347-637-3237, caller number 8. If you know that word we're looking for, to describe what it's called when you remove the comb and wattles by cutting. Again, 347-637-3237 for a package 25 of the vintage egg cartons from our good friends at eggcartons.com. That'll be today. As we wait for the switchboard to light up, we want to remind everybody that tomorrow is Wednesday. And let's see, it happens to be the second Wednesday, so we will welcome our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, from First State Vet Supply. That'll be tomorrow. And then this Thursday, we'll welcome Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. And it looks to me like this Thursday is,
deer protection. It's
okay.
Protecting your garden from deers, or orchards, whatever it is, but just how to manage deers and keep them out of your food supply as
very
they're growing.
Good.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. And, very good. So let's get over here to, and then Friday, another great fun Friday with lots of prizes. Okay, caller number 8. Let's roll down here and see if we can't find caller number 8. I remember they took my numbers away.
That's right. Oh, dear. Good thing you're barefoot.
I love it. All righty, here we go. Caller number 8, caller calling in from area code 606-606. You're on the air with Andy and Pat. State your name and tell us what state you're calling from, please.
Scott from Pikeville, Kentucky.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for listening up in Kentucky way. We appreciate you. And what do you think the answer to today's question is?
Dub.
Yep, dub. Dub or dubbing, we'll accept both of those. That is absolutely correct. Congratulations on that. Want to let you know you need to send me an email now to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Send me an over an email. In the subject line of the email, put egg cartons, egg cartons winner. And then in the actual email, I need your name, your shipping address, and your phone number so I can get that to Scott of eggcartons.com, and they can get you those out today. Shipped right over there to you in Kentucky. So congratulations. Yes, dub or dubbing is what we were looking for, and that is the correct answer. So send me over that email to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, name, address, and phone number, and in the subject line, the prize you won, and we'll get that up to our good friend Scott at eggcartons.com. All righty.
All right.
Here to the other, we have another one. Yesterday there was no show, and we Mondays are brought to you by Crazy K Farm. You can visit them online, see all the great stuff they do, crazykfarm.com, and you can also see this product at hensaver.com, and this will be for a hen saver hen apron from our good friend Toby over there at Crazy K Farm. Okay, hang on just a second. Let me try to find the second question I had. I just got to scroll up here and find it. So give me one second. Hang on a minute. I had it somewhere. Going down the list. These are all coming from Avian Bowl and Avian Bowl questions.
Oh, those are tough ones.
Yes. Yes, they are. I had a perfect one that wasn't too bad. So,
Glover says in the chat room he has dicks. He has pictures. Never sure what's going to come up on pictures for our chat room.
Who does?
Glover. No, it's not Jesse. It's Glover. Yeah. And Kara says she really needs the hen savers. I could use another one, too, myself.
Okay, hang on. I had it here, but let me go up here and see if I'll go through one more because it was a great one. and I like the questions for today. We've got some time, so give me a second. And you go ahead and pick the caller, Pat. You go ahead and pick the caller.
Okay, well, we've got about 6 minutes left. Let's do an even dozen. I like the even dozen one.
Okay. Oh, man, where is it? I apologize, folks. I had it here, and some of these you've heard before. I didn't want to repeat that.
Well, that doesn't matter. Our memories.
That's
you know?
True.
It's just
that's
good to
true.
Review.
My goodness, where'd it go? Hang on a minute. I want to go. I wanted this one particular one. Because I had the other one, and I had it's like 5 pages of stuff here. So let me just bear with me. And again, I apologize for the dead air.
You better hurry up, or I'll tell another dumb chicken joke. Oh, dear. Okay,
well,
I'm going to tell one here.
Go ahead, Pat. I apologize, folks, because I wanted this particular question I wanted to ask, and it's just my eyes aren't focusing in. Go ahead, tell us a bad chicken joke.
Okay, this is really bad. This is some of the truly the internet's worst. Why did the chewing gum cross the road? Why did the chewing gum cross the road? I don't expect anyone to really know this. If you know it in the chat room, just go ahead and type it in. But why did the chewing gum cross the road? And if you need more time, I can keep repeating this dumb question. Oh, dear. Well, what happened is the chicken stepped in it, so it was stuck to the chicken's leg. That's why the chewing gum crossed the road. Oh, groan. I know, that's a groaning.
Mm-hmm, I'm sure they are.
That's really bad. Yeah, it's really bad. Do you want another one? It's not Friday yet, but it feels like Friday. It's not, here we are on Tuesday.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Why did the chicken paint her toenails bright red? Why did the chicken paint her toenails bright red?
I think I've heard this one before.
I think we did this one. This is actually from one of the old elephant jokes. Why did the chicken paint her little toenails red?
What's the answer?
So it could hide in the strawberry patch.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help us all.
Oh, and Kelly from Georgia says, why did the chicken cross the road? Well, it was to prove to the possum that it could be done.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor possums.
Okay.
You know, they
we'll
try to do it at night and they get night blind. Did you find it?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't find the one I wanted, so we're going to go with this one. What are two varieties of the Houdan? Houdan? No. What are two varieties of the Houdan? That's what we're looking for. And you said caller what, Pat?
Number 12.
Okay, call number 12, 347-637-3237. You're paying for a hen saver, hen apron. We want to know two varieties of the Houdan. Two varieties of the Houdan, 347-637-3237, caller number 12, 347-637-3237. If we don't have 12 people that know this, then if you're caller number 6, but no one else calls after you, then you're going to be caller number 12. That's how kind of it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough question, and we happen to have a high number, and that many people don't call in because they don't know the answer, then we'll take the number that's closest to caller number 12 for that. So what are the two varieties of the Houdan, 347-637-3237. And tune in tomorrow, folks. We've got a great show with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, So you want to tune in tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, you can get all of your Chicken Whisperer collector cards at chickenwhisperer.com. We hope to have Series 2 released this fall. And looking looking forward to that. Alrighty, let me get over here. Caller number 12. Several people know this, Pat.
Yeah, great.
Okay, here we go. Caller calling in from area code 978. You're on the air with Andy and Pat. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, it's Bud from Massachusetts.
Hey, Bud. How you doing? Bard Rock.
Good, Andy. How you doing?
What do you think the answer is?
White and mottled.
That's it. Right on the
Very good.
Perfect. Absolutely. Right. You know the drill. Just send us your name and shipping address. We'll get that over to Toby and your phone number too, because she may want to call you. Hen Saver Hen Apron you want for the breed of chicken that you have. Alrighty, folks. We've got about 50 seconds left. Pat, take it away.
Okay, great. Well, our special guest today was Dr. Allison Martin. She is the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Research and Technical Program Director, so she's got a lot of responsibility. And she told us today about how vaccines are made from eggs and how to avoid that potato salad if you're concerned about the possibility of salmonella. Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together, and glad you're down there now in your new home, safe and sound, and everything's rolling along, getting you all tucked in, and hope Jen feels a lot better. Appreciation, deep appreciation to our chat room chickeneers, and of course all our listeners for clucking along. And of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, the chat, and the video services. Oh, you poultry pioneers, you know we love you so much. So stay cool and hydrated, and blessings to all, and may the flock be with you, quoth the chicken, evermore. God bless everybody.
Mm-hmm.